Western Conference Finals getting underway tonight in Oakland. So, with that in mind, I'm joined by a national NBA writer for the Los Angeles Times, good friend of this program, and the owner of a dog named B. Arthur. Dan Wojcicki is my guest. Dan, what's going on? How are you?
I know a dog that'll be very happy to hear you talk about him, Jim. I'm sure that tail is wagging somewhere.
Dude, you got to tell the story behind that. Why did you name that dog B. Arthur?
Well, so we wanted to get a female golden doodle, and obviously B. Arthur, tremendous golden girl. We're like, oh, that'd be a fun dog name. They were all out of girls, so we just slapped a period behind that B. And, yeah, it's kind of an unnamed first initial now. And now we've got a male dog named B. Arthur.
Well done.
So, I would
expect no less. Dan Wojcicki joining us, B. Arthur. All right, so game one of the Western Conference Finals gets underway tonight, as I mentioned. Dan, before we get to that, what do you make of the second round of the NBA playoffs? Was there enough drama for you?
Boy, yeah, no, it was great. I had thought that the Eastern Conference had a chance, all four series, to be just super fun, just because of kind of not only for what it meant in terms of getting teams to the conference finals and moving towards the finals, but, you know, the implications. You looked at a Philadelphia roster that could be very in flux, a coaching situation that we weren't sure about. Obviously, some of that's been settled, since. You look at the Boston Celtics, same thing. A roster that could look very, very differently last year. Toronto, what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard? Does any of this matter? You had all of that stuff happening out east. And then on top of it, you had, the best player in the world get hurt in the West. You had the Rockets with the best opportunity they'll probably ever have to get past the Warriors, squandering it. And then you had a great seven-game series between Portland and Denver. I mean, it's just the league is in a really good spot right now, I think, in terms of competitiveness, in terms of storylines, not to mention everything that happened, involving teams that weren't even in the playoffs. It was a good few weeks, I think, for the league office in terms of, getting NBA chatter out there.
Dan Wojcicki is joining us. All right, so what about the matchup in the West? You've got Portland, and it was one thing to bounce back and beat OKC the way they did, but then to come back from three games down, 3-2 down, and then win a game seven on the road against Denver was something else. So there's a confidence and a belief that this Blazers team has been pretty remarkable, but how different is the challenge they face now with Golden State, even without Kevin Durant?
Well, I mean, I think, look, right, like the Warriors without Kevin Durant and with Steph Curry have been almost unbeatable since KD joined the team. I think they're 30-4 in those games. Obviously won a closeout game on the road, without Kevin Durant. They'll be without him, I would imagine, for a pretty decent chunk of this series. The Warriors are the Warriors, right? This is a monumental test. I think the only thing that I would say in terms of Portland is that this is a team that has been counted out all season. When you looked at the way the Western Conference shook out last summer and you looked at sort of, the LeBron moving west and the presumption that the Lakers would make the playoffs, you talk to people around the league and they would try to figure out, well, what team isn't going to make the playoffs, And Portland was a popular answer. They didn't appear to get a lot better in the summer. They had Seth Curry, Rodney Hood in a trade later down the line, but it wasn't like a team that got a ton better. And here they are, though. This is a team that has been in the top part of the Western Conference here for, three of the last 4 years. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum are just a bear to guard. They're very hard to defend. And, maybe we should stop being surprised by their surprises. I wrote something today in the LA Times where earlier this year I talked to CJ McCollum about, I do a series called Best Game Ever, and I had asked him about that, and I had assumed that he would have said the game he played in the NCAA tournament against Duke, maybe, kind of his sort of introduction to the world as a basketball player and as a potential draft pick. And he took the game before that, the game that got him there, because he understood that if they hadn't won that conference tournament, if they hadn't beaten Bucknell, you might not have been in the tournament. He might not have gotten that chance. And maybe that's what this has been for them. Maybe this is just the moment before the big moment. And I think if you're a Portland fan, that's what you have to hope.
Dan Wojcicki is a national NBA writer for the Los Angeles Times. Dan, let me ask you about something you said recently about Steph Curry. You made the distinction that Curry is not Golden State's best player, but he is their most important player. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think Kevin Durant, I think he's the best player in the NBA. If not, he's second. He's certainly been, one of the top two in the playoffs, him and Kawhi Leonard. But I think kind of like the gasoline or the engine you know, what makes the Warriors run like the Warriors is Steph Curry. And what I mean by that is his ability to stretch defenses. It's the way that the ball kind of zips around. It's sort of, you know, his emotion. He's kind of, I think, an underrated emotional leader on that team. A lot of times people point towards Draymond Green. I think, you know, Steph Curry is right there in terms of somebody who can kind of inject life into the Warriors and always seems to you know, he has this great love affair with, like, the big moment, right? Seems like he is shooting 80% on shots in Oracle Arena over his career that, like, really matter. And so I look at that, and that to me, I mean, you look at those numbers, that 30-4 record, and I think that's what that is. It's a style of play type of thing. With Kevin Durant, the ball sticks a little bit, and it should. The ball should stick with Kevin Durant. He might be the greatest offensive player ever, or certainly the hardest to guard. But, you know, for the Warriors, when they're operating, I think, sometimes at prime efficiency, it's what we saw in the second half of Game 6, the ball flying around, making its way into Steph Curry's hands. And some of those shots, they might only count for three on the scoreboard. But, man, they feel like 5, 6, 7 points when you're in the arena. They're just backbreakers.
Dan Wojcicki joining us. Dan, back to that point about how Kevin Durant might be the best offensive player ever. You raised the question on Twitter earlier this month, quote, are we sure, like, sure, that Kawhi Leonard isn't the best player in the world, end quote. That was earlier this month. How would you answer that question right now?
I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, I think those are the two guys, you know, and then Giannis is right there too. But what we've seen from Kawhi Leonard, I think, healthy, you know, shooting 60% from the field, hitting obviously huge shots in every series so far, but you know, a really magical kind of, you know, Game 7 buzzer beater. That's the type of stuff you dream about in driveways, right? That's not real life. That's fantasy. To hit a shot like that, it's what an incredible moment for him. But I mean, he's been terrific on offense. Still can take over games on the defensive end in a way that Kevin Durant, I don't think, can. I'm very curious to see what he's going to look like against a really good Milwaukee Bucks defense, and obviously going to be tested plenty. He's going to catch Giannis, I think, on a lot of switches. I'm expecting kind of to watch those two guys at times go at it. But he has a stake, you know, or he has a claim at kind of that title in this league. He's been that good in the playoffs. I think Toronto has done a lot to help their case to re-sign him by keeping him healthy, by putting him in this position, by helping get him ready to be able to go 40-plus minutes in these playoff games, not worry about injuries, not worry about health. I think they've done a lot to kind of help their free agency pitch to Kawhi.
All right, so these guys have done everything they could to keep him there. However, the Clippers have had somebody in a building to watch him and scout him almost every single night this season, if not every single night. Now, you covered the Clippers back in the day during some really interesting times. Did you ever think, Dan, you would see a time where the Clippers would be the more stable, better-run organization and a more attractive free agent destination than Big Brother in the same building?
No, you know, it's a surprise, and I think maybe it shouldn't be, because the more you're around the NBA, I think, and the more you kind of study teams and what makes rosters work and what makes organizations successful, ownership is one of those things that just, you can't undersell the importance of ownership. And when you look at what Steve Ballmer's done, not only financially, right, like look at their summer, Jim. They had two front office candidates, Trent Redden, Michael Winger, important guys sort of in their front office infrastructure. Have opportunities elsewhere. Michael Winger had a chance to interview for the Minnesota Timberwolves job. Trent Redden had a chance to go work with David Griffin in New Orleans. But the Clippers were able to step up and keep both guys, right? And yeah, they can sell unfinished business and all of that stuff, but I'm sure there were raises involved, because the Clippers know, and Steve Ballmer knows, there's no salary cap for a front office. You can pay whatever you want to have the best general managers. You can pay whatever you want to have the best scouting, to have the best analytics team, to have the best training staff and training equipment. There's no cap on any of that stuff. And I've talked to Steve Ballmer about this, and I think, you know, he understands that you can control what you can control. That's a Ballmer phrase that he likes. And that's one of the things that he knows he can control, is he can take out the checkbook and he can write big checks to keep the coaches they want, to keep the front office guys that they want to try to keep. And, you know, there's a power in that infrastructure. And I think you look across the hall at the Lakers right now and you look at the voices that are important, some of them don't work for the team. You know, it's not as robust of a front office. You know, ownership is much more involved, I think, in the decision making than it is across the hall, where people are empowered. I think it's a pretty stark contrast when you look at what the Clippers have done under Steve Ballmer in terms of just kind of building a culture of stability. You know, when you look at the Lakers, where if they're trying to sell that they're stable to free agents, I think they're barking up the wrong tree. You know, you had Magic Johnson quit, telling people like me before he told LeBron James, which is totally insane. You know, and then now he's still, you know, a little bit a part of the process. You have Linda Rambis and you have Kurt Rambis, you know, emerging as really, really important voices. You have a guy, Rob Pelinka, that, you know, doesn't have a ton of respect around the league, and he's been elevated now through all of this. And they hired their third coaching choice because they cheaped out on Ty Lue. You know, this hasn't been sort of the stellar start to, you know, maybe the most important summer that they've had in the last decade. The clock's ticking on LeBron James, and they've got to move. You look across the hall, and the Clippers, you know, even if they don't land Kawhi Leonard, they are in really good position moving forward for the next three, four seasons, and they've given themselves options. The Lakers don't have as many.
Hey Dan, really quickly, as a follow, how and why do the Rambises have so much power and influence over Jeannie Buss? Exactly what is that about?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Linda and Jeannie are friends for multiple decades, Jim, you know, and it's, you know, people have advisors, and they have people that are close to them that they listen to, and I think that's been Linda for Jeannie for a long time. And obviously, with Linda comes Kurt, you know, who was hired, I think, last year. I was surprised. I assumed he'd already worked for the Lakers. I mean, it feels like he's worked there his whole life. You know, it's either there or the Knicks. And I think, you know, so that's sort of has become sort of her inner circle. Earlier this year, the Times kind of had a big story where we found emails between some representatives from MSG and from, you know, and Jeannie Buss. And Linda Rambis is on these emails, you know. And I remember at the time, when the story came out, talking to people saying, hey, congratulations, you just stumbled into the hierarchy. You know, like, that's who's important here. That's one and two on that email chain. And these are high, I mean, these are, you know, talking about maybe ever going back to play at the forum type emails. And Linda Rambis is there. She's got a voice on all of this stuff. And I think it's, you know, the result of a multi-decade relationship with ownership.
Hey, listen, you have a friend. Be as close as you want. Have a friend. I got no problem with that. I'm not saying who she should be friends with. I got no problem with that. He is a national NBA writer for the LA Times. He is a friend of the program, and he is the owner of a dog named B. Arthur, with the letter B. B. Arthur. Dan, great job. Good to have you back. I appreciate it.
All right, Jim. Take care. If you need me to name some horses, let me know.
Oh, dude, I need you for that. And thank you for being a friend. Appreciate that.
Thank you for being
Dan Wojcicki. Doing a great job with the LA Times. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, let me pick up that conversation about the LA Lakers and this talk. Thanks, Alvin.